You begin to experience that the very stuff of aging becomes stuff to work with for your spiritual journey. There are some advantages of aging in that you are like the Chung Tzu's old gnarled tree that no woodsman cuts down anymore. So it can do its own business. You become irrelevant so you can do inner work. Here's Frances, a resident in a nursing home. She says, lack of physical strength keeps me inactive and often silent. They call me senile. Senility is a convenient peg on which to hang nonconformity, she says. A new set of faculties seems to be coming into operation. I seem to be waking to a larger world of wonderment, to catch little glimpses of the immensity and diversity of creation. More than at any other time of my life, I seem to be aware of the beauties of our spinning planet and the sky above. Old age is sharpening my awareness. That's senility. I had an extraordinary image of this when I was taking care of my father, who died about 3 years ago at 90. And over the years, my father had been a very effective political, social animal, very successful. As he got older, during the last 3 years, he got very quiet inside. And he just smiled a lot. And I used to sit with him and hold his hand, and we'd look at sunsets. We had never done that all our lives because we were always busy, what'll we do now? You know, that kind of active world. So a man came to visit, a relative came to visit my father, who had never gotten along well with him. And he said, hi, how you doing? And my father just smiled at him. And the fellow walked out of the room and he said, that bastard, he still won't talk to me. And then my aunt came along, who loved my father incredibly. She said, George, how are you? And he just smiled at her. And she said, oh, poor George, what have they done to you? Where are you? You've gone away. There he and I were sitting. We were both in ecstasy, just sitting and smiling. We were totally at peace. It was like washing the Buddha all the time. It was incredible. I mean, he was just blissed out all the time. He didn't even know himself. They were both miserable. Isn't that interesting? They were miserable because their model of who he should be because of who he was, but that isn't who he is. And the interesting question is whether you will allow the moment to be real or not. It's a wonderful line. The very frailty of age guards its secrets. The inner world of the old is seldom worded. To speak of half-formed ideas which come with attunement to inner self is to destroy their growth, said Margaret Keyes. See, when I say to you, you are looking for a place in you that is not form, that is not in time, that is not in space. It's not something you can talk about. All your words are just fingers pointing at the moon. They're not the moon. And when you get old and you can't talk so much, then you're in a position where you may be able to hear those components that are not talkable about. Otherwise, you keep reducing the world to what you can talk about. It's so interesting how age works to the advantage spiritually. You know, I go to Burma, say, to sit in meditation for 2 months. I go into a cell, I sit down, no books, no letters, no television, nobody to talk to, nowhere. I just sit and go inward. And I go into as quiet a place as I can. But look what happens when you get old. You go deaf, you go blind. You've got arthritis, you can't move around. What an ideal time to meditate. I mean, if any message was clearer, that's it. Isn't that the optimum time to be able to sit down and shut up and really listen inward? And yet we treat it as if it's an error or a failing. Isn't that bizarre? Seems so to me. The next issue, of course, that we have to deal with is the issue of dying. Suzuki Roshi said, life is like setting sail aboard a boat which is about to go out into the ocean and sink. You ready for that?
Not me, I'm not gonna sink. I have a life preserver.
And Rilke said that one can contain death, the whole of death, can hold it to one's heart gentle and not refuse to go on living is inexpressible. The key spiritual work that aging demands we focus upon is the way in which we relate to death. And the way you relate to death is a function of how much you are identified with that which dies. When you were born, you were undifferentiated all of it. And then you went into somebody training. And you became somebody. You became a defined, boundaried somebody. You were trained by people who thought they were somebody. And in the zeal with which you were trained into your somebodyness, what you lost was your connection with the unity that exists behind the diversity. You just got so focused on your separateness, you lost the unity. And the spiritual journey is awakening back into the unity, the oneness, the spirit, the God that permeates and is all things. Not so that you get lost in the unity and forget the diversity or your uniqueness, but that you regain the balance. Because once you have in you a recognition of that part of you which is part of everything, which is part of the one, your fear of death is dissipated immensely. As long as you are identified only with your separateness, you are afraid of death. And that fear is going to color all of your years. And the art of being able to look directly at death and directly at suffering, that art, the ability to keep your heart open in hell, to look at what is, look at all of it, is a function of your ability to find in yourself that which is not changing, which is not separate, which is not vulnerable to time and to space. That's the spiritual work. That's the journey of aging.